From the Madison Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, 90% chance of rain. Still kind of waiting for it this afternoon. High about 67, 100% chance of rain tonight, 56 the low. Saturday, 40% chance of showers, partly sunny, 73. On Sunday, sunny, 77. Next week, back to around 90 degrees, Monday through Thursday in the Umpqua Valley. Right now, we are where we have been all morning long. It's still 54 degrees, cloudy. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. A lot of things going on to cover on Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
So we wanted to cover COVID-19 in depth. Haven't had the time to do it as much lately with the fire situation. We've got a lot of things to get into, but first of all, let's go through the new numbers out for Douglas County. The numbers out just in the past few minutes.
Yeah, so there are for today, there are two cases that were previously presumptive cases. That is, people who have symptoms but are awaiting the results of the test. And we got their test back today, and they were positive. And then there were two new cases.
So that brings us up to 225. That's a large number, but it's certainly a much smaller number than some other counties of similar size.
Oh, absolutely. So I was just on the phone this morning with Malheur County, that has had almost 100 times as many cases per capita as we have.
Wow. So as you look at the uptick that we've had in the last week or so in Douglas County, is there anything driving this increase? Because we've certainly had, I don't know the total number in the past 7 days, I didn't have time to add it up, but it's been a higher number than we've seen in most weeks in quite some time.
Yes. So over the last week or so, we've been seeing 20 or more cases per week. You remember through much of August, we were at less than 10 cases per week. So this really is a marked increase. The increase comes from a couple of things. We had one case associated with the fire. We've had some cases among students go to college. When they go to college, they get screened, and we had a positive there. We've had a couple of small workplace outbreaks. And then we've got a larger outbreak. This is an outbreak that is mostly in Southern South County. It goes throughout the county, mostly older people who have been together socializing, church functions, hobby groups. And in that cluster, there's 19 cases, 8 hospitalizations, and 1 death. So that really is our current hotspot.
Interesting. And talk about the process for sort of putting all the pieces together between these various cases and seeing how they're tied together.
Well, the disease investigation is always difficult, especially with a respiratory-borne virus. I mean, you don't get a receipt when you get the disease, so you can't always exactly tell, for example, if two people are in the house together, whether you test on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or if you've had multiple contacts with people, whether you got it from the other person or whether there was an intermediate case. Now, most of the case finding you do is on sexually transmitted diseases, and that's much easier because you typically don't have intermediate contacts. But we try and pin them all down. So in this larger outbreak we have here, they all have multiple contacts between them, family contacts, social contacts, church contacts, but far more cases than you would expect randomly.
And especially in a more rural area of the county as well.
Yeah, so it's a low population area. So if this was New York City and a bunch of people on a few blocks had it, there could be all kinds of different connections. But these are in more rural parts of the county, suggesting that the transmission is among this group.
Now, are you still seeing the cases that are tied to travel?
We are, and we have two this week, right? So somebody went up to Washington to a big party. One person at the party was sick. They got back, continued to do their normal activities for a few days. After a few days, they heard from the person in Washington that they were sick, got tested, and now the person in Douglas County is sick. Another group went to a wedding in another place where there was lots of disease, and they came back and they have COVID. So this story is a very, very common story in Douglas County. Now, you can imagine, because we've got a terribly low rate of disease, that people are much more likely to bring it in than to bring it out. So when I look at the number of places we've gotten it from, so internationally, we have one from Australia. From the United States, we have cases from Alaska, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, California, Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Tennessee, Michigan, Ohio, and Massachusetts. Other than that, you know, I mean, so all of those states we've gotten the disease from. So really, travel is a big, big issue.
And that's a large number of states there. So even if that just accounts for one case per person, and it may be more, that would certainly change our numbers significantly.
Oh, absolutely. So these cases typically result in many more cases. So for example, in an Alaska case, it was five cases. In our Idaho case, started another big outbreak that spread to workplaces and to a wedding. Our Florida case led to an outbreak at another facility. Our Tennessee case led to an early outbreak at a facility. So many of these things, they bring them in and then spread them to four or five other people.
What about the trend in Oregon? We have also seen an uptick in the statewide numbers as well.
Yes. So we've seen a big uptick in the statewide numbers. You know, we had a big peak in July and early August, and then come down. But over just the last few days, we've seen a big uptick with over 300 cases yesterday, and a year will be over today.
And is there a particular, it's probably too early to know, but what might be driving that?
So there are several things that are driving it. One is there are some large workplace outbreaks. And so these large workplace outbreaks develop lots of cases very quickly. There's still outbreaks in our prison system. So when I was talking with Valier County earlier today, most of their cases are related to Snake River. So big prison in Snake River, lots and lots of cases out there. So that's basically where they're coming from. And as people go back to college, we've done lots and lots of testing of college students, and that's also resulted in lots of cases.
And what I'd seen, maybe it was this morning or maybe yesterday, in Lane County, for example, those included students who were off campus. And, of course, because Oregon State, University of Oregon, most of the schools are pretty much online or very limited things that they're doing in small groups. And so is this possibly somebody that already had it and just didn't know it yet?
Yes. So we think there are lots of college students who are only mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic, and they bring it on to colleges. And in college campuses, we are not so worried about the lecture halls. We do not think there's lots of spread in a lecture hall. You can spread the kids apart. You can use masks. There's usually good airflow inside. We think it's the things that you do after class that gets you there, as many people will do at college, hang out in a dorm room and talk about the future, hang out at a party and meet new people. And those are the things that happen in college that are most worrisome. So when we looked at colleges that have had big outbreaks, it's usually been centered on the fraternity and sorority systems.
And of course, right now we are in that transition. So if, for instance, parents, grandparents are helping a student move into one of the universities up to the north and are around for even a day or so to deal with that process, they're around other people, maybe not very many, but then there's a the potential there to cross paths with someone and end up coming back to Douglas County positive.
Exactly right. And what we've also seen is that young people get the disease and they tend not to get very sick, but then they come back and visit grandma and can make her sick. Or while they're in college, they work at the nursing home or they work at the fast food restaurant. And those are the places we think we can spread. So there's some early data suggesting that in those college towns that came and had big outbreaks in the college towns, that now a few weeks later, it's spreading to some of the older and more vulnerable people in the communities. So my sister's a professor at a college back east, And her big worry is that the kids will get it. They won't get very sick, but they'll give it to her. And she's in an age group where she's considerably at risk.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. We're going to talk about schools more in the K-12 level and a number of other things as well as we do an in-depth look at COVID-19 in Douglas County and beyond. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 this afternoon at 4. CBS Audio's America Changed Forever special, looking at the life of recently deceased Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's the focus of the program this afternoon. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, and literally during the commercial break, I got the new state numbers, Bob. You've probably already seen them, but 457 new confirmed or presumptive cases in Oregon today. That is the highest daily case count since the beginning of the pandemic in Oregon.
Yeah, and that is a worry, but not a concern, but not a total surprise, as we knew that they were going to announce a very large workplace outbreak on the coast.
And I see 79 cases at Pacific Seafood in Clatsop County. Talk about places like that in terms of how it is hard when you've got just the way that these type of factories, whether it's seafood or something else, tend to work.
So we really, really worry about workplaces because people are close together, sometimes in areas where there's poor ventilation and we know the disease can spread. So we'd heard about a lot of outbreaks in meatpacking plants in the Midwest in the springtime. Those have basically changed their practices. We've known that seafood is a real, real, real concern. There's a big outbreak in Newport a few months ago. So while this is certainly unwelcome news, it is not totally shocking.
And yeah, 73 cases there. Now that, if I understand what they've said before, doesn't necessarily mean 79 workers. That could be tied to friends and family who got it from one of the workers in other hours of their lives.
Right. So when we look at workplace outbreaks in the United States, in Oregon, workplace outbreaks are the people who work there and their close contacts. So when you see outbreaks, typically about half the cases are in the employees, and then the other half are in people that they infected. So, for example, if I go to work and get at work and then give it to my wife, both she and I get considered in the outbreak, even though she doesn't work here.
Well, let's go back to where I was headed before that news came down. With the higher numbers today, a grim illustration, really, what about the potential impacts on schools trying to restart in-person instruction for K-3?
So we know that schools can reopen safely when case counts in the community around them are low. So when there's not very much disease around, other countries and other states have shown us that when the amount of disease is quite low, about where we were in August, that you can open schools safely, not have a lot of outbreaks, and do pretty well. We know that when disease is very high, as it is in other states, when you open schools, you get lots of outbreaks. We moved from the area of the very low. Now we're in a mid-range here, so we've got to be careful. So I think we're probably not going to open any new schools at this point. Schools that have already been open are probably going to be allowed to stay open, and we'll see what happens. So far, we've had no outbreaks at the schools, and a number of schools have been open now for several weeks.
Earlier this week, Oregon Department of Education met with school administrators, and I understand you were part of that meeting as well.
I was.
And what kinds of information was talked about there?
Almost exactly what I just said, that, you know, that the case rates were rising, the metrics were changing, and that we needed to be careful about new reopenings.
Let's talk about a couple of things this time of year. We just went through a holiday weekend recently. Of course, we had the fires in the midst of everything as well. People have obviously not traveled as much this year, but as you said at the front end of things with the local cases, people are still sometimes bringing the virus back to Douglas County through travel. For folks that have to travel, or if they need to check on a family member or someone who's ill from some other situation in another place, what do you advise, and how do you travel more safely if you need to travel?
That's a very good question. So when we look at most of this travel was totally discretionary. So it wasn't to go to grandma's funeral or to work. Almost all of this was discretionary, visiting friends and neighbors. So if you can avoid discretionary travel, please avoid. The second is that if you do need to travel, you need to quarantine when you get back. Because in each of these cases, had people quarantined even for 1 week, they then, before they went back to their usual life and exposed to everybody else, they would have known that that first person was sick, and then they wouldn't have exposed anybody else. The typical pattern we see is that people get exposed on a Saturday or Sunday at a party. They come back on Monday and work. They don't find that that first person tested positive until Thursday or Friday, and by that time, they've exposed all of these people. So some employers in the area actually are saying, if you leave the county, you need to plan to take 2 weeks of PTO when you get back so that you can quarantine and don't infect us.
Interesting. What about considerations around limited size social gatherings?
So social gatherings have been really where these happen. So it's typically travel to a social gathering. So we've not seen a lot of people who are traveling, say, to look at Mount St. Helens and come back. What we're seeing is people to travel to a gathering. So it's travel and gatherings associated. Gatherings are a problem. Typically, when you do the gathering, you take your mask down. Typically, with a gathering, you have relatively short social distancing, and they tend to be long. So you talk about these family reunions where people go for 5 or 6 hours within a few feet of each other in another area. Those are the high-risk activities.
Pac-12 announced a short college football schedule, but no fans in the stands. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, football is part of American life. I think we've shown in the NFL and the NBA that sports can be done pretty effectively and without much spread of disease. However, the NBA and the NFL have all the money in the world, and they're able to put people in a bubble. So, for example, all the NBA players got to live in Disney World for the last 2 months, test people extensively and see how it works. When we move down from people who have all the money in the world to people with less, and testing is more difficult and bubbling is more difficult, then what you see is more spread. So college football struggled a bit. There clearly have been lots of cases among college players. I was actually reading about a college that had several of its games canceled because its opponents had COVID. So college will be more complicated. High school is going to be, I think, nearly impossible. I think Pac-12 has been very careful, judicious in what they've done, and we'll see what happens. I think during this time, we have to really focus on being safe, but also being creative. So you'll see a video that comes out later this week about creative ways to do Halloween. So the CDC came out with guidelines that said, well, just basically stay home. We think that's too strict. I think if you tell people that your only option is to stay home, they'll disregard that and go out what they've done in the past. That would not be safe. We think there are things you can do between staying home and traditional costume parties that you could still do, would still be lots of fun, and would be safe.
Now, you've said that outside is better for things like dining or small social groups. What do you do, though, when this rain begins, which it's going to today?
Well, this is a big worry, right? So that when it's a nice weather outside, you could have a team meeting outside. When it's nice outside, you can eat outside. When it pours rain, as hopefully it will do, people will be driven inside, and that can be a real risk factor for increasing amounts of disease. So the other Southern Hemisphere has the seasons different from us. We're just now entering the fall. They're just leaving. They're just entering their from winter to spring. They have tremendously struggled. So when you look at the case counts in Peru and Ecuador, Argentina and Chile, they are astronomical, many, many, many times higher than the U.S., and actually many times, many, many, many times higher than Oregon. So we worry that that kind of cooling weather could really be an accelerator for this disease.
Our County Public Health Officer, Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.